It was early in the morning. I heard a noise outside our back window in the parsonage in Mount Morris. I not heard it quite like that. It was a sound of some kind of heavy machinery operating in the parsonage lot. And so I looked out the window, and there was Bobby Delaney in this ancient Ford tractor with some contraption hooked up to the back. So I went out on the deck, and I saw, and I waved to Bobby, and he turned off the motor, and he kind of worked his way slowly down. Bobby was this lanky guy. He was a fire chief in Little Mount Morris, and he was also our chairperson of our trustees. And he came down, and he said, "Bobby, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, you said you wanted a garden, so I'm taking care of that." It was early March. And so I said, okay, it was my first appointment right out of seminary. Julie's like, "What is that?" So there was Bobby, and he had these things on the back of the tractor, this long row hooked up of these huge circles of metal about this far around, these giant things all rode up on their side. And he lowered that thing down in the earth, and he began to cut the earth in ways I'd never seen earth cut before. And huge portions of the soil and the sod was turned and churned up and over. And he was doing his thing, and when he was done, there wasn't an ounce of grass in the backyard, which is like what I like. My previous experience with gardening was when I was a little boy, 5 or 6, and my dad had a garden, and usually my mom and dad, and Dad, by the time I got home from school, it had all been plowed up by his little rototiller, and my sister had a little section, and I had a little section. We were allowed to plant whatever we wanted, and every year she planted sunflower seeds, and I planted pumpkins, and I knew she was a little lazy. I'd get my pumpkins in early enough that my pumpkins would start creeping all around her sunflowers. It was awesome, all those vines spreading out. And at the end of the harvest, every year, as far as my little garden was in Mom and Dad's place, I grew those pumpkins, and I would load my wagon up every week for a couple weeks and put all the pumpkins that were ripe in the back of my little wagon. I couldn't even get it going. I had to call my friend Patrick from up the street, and he would push the back, and I would pull the front, and I'd go down, in our town, the sidewalks weren't all nice and neat. They were raised up this way and raised up that way, and one would be cracked, and there'd be a hole in another, and we'd wobble that thing down the street, and I would sell those pumpkins. The little ones were a nickel, the medium size were a dime, and the big ones were a quarter. And I thought I was like some kind of pumpkin baron. I couldn't believe the kind of money I was raking in on these pumpkins. And then I'd run down the store with Patrick, and I'd buy him a pop, and we'd read comic books together while we ate a bunch of candy we probably shouldn't eat. That was my idea of gardening. So I was puzzled by what Bobby was doing and the kind of machinery he put back there. Bobby liked to grow potatoes in his garden. And he is an old timer. He's not with us anymore, but it was Bobby Delaney. The first time I ever shot a deer was with Bobby. And I got out afterwards, and I made some coffee, and we stood on the deck. It was a little too cold just to sit around. And he explained to me, he said, "Pastor, if you want a good garden, you got to take all that soil that's underneath. You got to take all that growing stuff and kill it. You got to get it upside down." And I guess these were discs he did. He was discing it, and he was just cutting it all up and turning that soil over from top to bottom and getting all the good stuff that's sunk in, come and get it up on top and get all that stuff that's used up and turn it down underneath and kill that grass. You got to kill that grass, Pastor. He said, "If it stays on top, it's just going to be a bunch of weeds." I say that because when we read Paul's message, he has a message to you and I. And God, he wants us to understand, God calls you and I to renewal. I thought it's a good message for the end of the year. A good thing to talk about here as we turn the calendars over to 2025 coming up? And God calls you and I to renewal. He wants to bring new things into your life. New things this year, new things this week, new things for your future. that will give good make good things happen, help you experience life in ways that you had never imagined you would experience life. Experience the people around you in ways that you would never thought you could experience them in the relationships that you have. He wants to do these things. But Paul reminds us in this short passage that there cannot be a resurrection without a death. There cannot be a resurrection without a death. And there cannot be resurrection living in your life without death. And so therefore he reminds us that there are things in our lives that have to die. There are things in our lives that have to die for God to bring his power to bear in you. And on what kind of things? As I begin to ponder this, he mentions the things that I think we all think of. We think about sexual immorality, impurity, passions, the evil desire, covetousness. These are all kind of big ones, idolatry. But then he even goes further. He talks about anger, malice, you know, slander, talking ill of others, gossip, that kind of stuff. Obscene talk. He says, you know, you got to get rid of the lies in your life. Not only the lies you're telling one another, he says, but the lies you're telling yourself about your life. We know that time is precious. How many of you here, I'm going to ask you, raise your hands. How many of you have something you think about every once in a while that you regret deeply in your life? Raise your hand. Decisions, wasted time, wasted efforts, wasted relationships. I can't imagine a human being I've met on this earth that does not regret some time that we wasted, whether it was given to somebody we shouldn't have been messing around with, you know, a friend, a coworker, even somebody more significant. Or efforts that were wasted. Habits that just kill us and our vitality. There's things in our lives that need to die and need to be put to death. And Paul says that these earthly things are holding back from what God could bring into your life. What God could bring into your life. I'm excited. I got to tell you something. I'm really excited these last couple days. Because my wife and I, for the first time in a while, are on the same page about our basement. And we're getting rid of stuff. We are cleaning that place out. Anybody have like a place in your house where things just seem to, out of sight, out of mind, just start collecting and collecting? And you know, and after the holidays, my parents were up, we were out hunting, a lot of my hunting stuff moved into there. Christmas wrapping was happening on, presents were stored, but behind all this stuff, there was another layer of stuff that had been there prior to that stuff. And then there was threatening more stuff to come in. And we realized there were some things we wanted to do. You know, we've been saving for a while, and we've had this living room couch for, I don't know, way past its prime. It's busted out. You sit down and you feel the metal underneath. You know, they really have a couch like that. And we've done, you know, maybe now's the time. You know, we have a little Christmas money. We have a little money saved. And we're going to maybe go take care of that. But you know what? We don't have room. We got to clear stuff out of this place. And we started cleaning. And we just haven't stopped yet. And it's amazing. It's amazing. We can see the floor in the basement. It's astonishing. You know, it's a simple thing. We all recognize that for new things to happen in your life, sometimes the old stuff has got to get out. You got to get the trash out of your life. For new habits to take root, to take over in your life, some of the old stuff needs to go away. There's new relationships, new friendships that could be formed, but you're wasting time on old, fruitless relationships. That you know you've been spinning a cycle with this person over and over and over and over and over again. I'm not talking about your commitments. I'm not talking about relationships with vows. I'm talking about, you know, the wasted time that we spend. And sometimes I think, well, am I an evil person for letting this person go? I remember last year I had to let someone go from my life. And I thought maybe I've been putting it off. I thought maybe it was, you know, it was one of those relationships where it seemed to be all the effort was on my side. And There was not any life flowing from this relationship. There was nothing growing in this relationship. There was no newness in this relationship. There was no blessing in this friendship. It was just this cycle of negativity going on and on and on. Till finally, you know, I finally turned to Julie. I said, you know, I think that that's the last time I'm going to call you. And she said, finally. No, she didn't quite say it like that, but we both knew. I had to let things go, but as a result, new things have happened. I've had more time for nurturing relationships with others, growing new friendships and new people, and investing my life and my energy and my effort into people that want to grow spiritually, that want to grow into what God wants them to be. That's the same thing in your life, I imagine, for all of us. There are things we hold on to far past their prime. At one time in our life, they were precious gifts. They were cherished. They brought something into us. They brought life to us. They renewed us in certain ways, but now that is no longer true. Now they've become a crutch that we lean on far too much. Now they've prevented us from seeing God's best, knowing God's best. Some of them are habits. Some of them are relationships. Some of them are just objects. The things we own that tend to own us over time. Sometimes they're hobbies. Sometimes it's a place of work. We've sunk so much of our life into it, we have a hard time thinking that there's anything that might bless us in a new way or better. I don't know what those things are, and they come to us in different times in our life. But I know this next year, there's new things God wants to do for each of us. New ways he wants us to grow, new ways he wants us to interact, new habits he wants us to form, new ways of speaking to others that we need to practice and be in the habit of practicing. And those old patterns and those old conversations that keep coming up keep us in the old habits of how we used to talk, how we used to speak, how we used to be. And so it's hard to hold on to the new and hold on to the old at the same time. There's things we need to mention. And Paul reminds us that for new things, for resurrection to take hold in our lives, the old has to die. That's why he frames it that way. Put to death. Frankly, church, you and I, we need to kill some things in our life so that new things can grow. And death is always hard. We know that. In real life, and when we speak of it figuratively here, there's pain, there's sorrow involved. But this sorrow leads to good things. He says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if you have complaints against each other, forgive each other. There are people in your life that are preventing you from really being a forgiving person. Because every time you think you ought to and you mention it to this person, they remind you of how you shouldn't. How you're right for holding on to the bitterness. And they're like some kind of weird, demented Greek chorus saying that you're good and you're right for being and doing the way, the things you've been doing. And acting the way you have been. Those are some things you need to let go. I don't say this as a condemnation. This is not why God reminds us of these things, to make us feel bad about these things, but to offer us the hope of a better future. That's why this whole passage is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And I'm sure by the end of what was read, you recognize it. Because it is from this passage that my traditional benediction that I say on most Sundays comes. He says, most of all, if you want the goodness of God, let the peace of Christ rule over you. That means that it's your ruler. That the things we hold on to, what we use to make that determination is this going to bring the peace of Christ alive in my life? Or is it going to bring something else into me? What is coming from this behavior? What is coming from this relationship? What is coming from this
ownership?
Is the peace of Christ more present in my life because my life is like this, or is it less? So let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, reside in you richly, so that the knowledge and the wisdom that is found in this ancient text is alive and becomes a living word from God in your heart. That its truth informs your actions, informs your heart, your loves, your likes, your hatreds, your disgust. Let it dwell in you richly. And he says, and whatever it is you're doing, whether you're speaking or how you're acting, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the intention of God, with God's intention working in you. And thereby you give thanks to God the Father through Him. What has to die in you this year for God's goodness to take over? What do you have to let go of, church? And what do we have to let go of for God's goodness to reign over us this new year? Let's bow our heads. Lord, some of us here, we know already what we should be letting go of. And for some of us, like me, I know, should have happened years ago. I just didn't want to believe it. Always thought there would be hope. I always thought you'd do that, this would work, that I could reconcile what you want to do with and what I want. But it's not. And Lord, there's some here like that. There's some of us are contemplating this, wondering what's keeping us from the good life we've always wanted, the life you want to give, that abundant life that you promised through your Son. Lord, help our hearts to be wise, to know what's good and right and honorable and just, to focus on what is true. And Lord, we want your Holy Spirit, you to bring your fruit to bear, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. We want more of that in our lives. So lead us to those deaths that have to go, to the junk that has to get out of our house, so that new things can come in. Lord, help us be wise servants that walk in the way that leads to life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. And all God's people say, amen.